Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem.
Daf Pegimal. Today's daf is being studied in honor of Hilfon ben Regina Malka and Mazal bat Esther. Hashem alehem yichyu.
Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Pebet Amud Sheni, and we are going to start on the bottom line. Let's just review. We came out yesterday a mahloket between Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, how much of a loaf of bread do you need for the minimum of Eruv? When one establishes his Eruv Tehomin, there's a minimum amount of bread. At the onset, we understood that Rabbi Yohanan held that it is the amount of bread that is bought for a pundiyon. Pundiyon is a coin. When a se'la can buy you 4 se'ah of bread. In conclusion, breaking it all down, it came out that a pundiyon can buy you 0.5 kav. So the Gemara said that that would be the initial shi'ur for a 2 se'udot, that would be the requirement for Eruv. Now 0.5 kav, that would mean each se'udah would be 1/4 of a kav, and the 2 se'udot would be 0.5 kav. The Gemara then fell off that. The Gemara came out and said that really you don't spend a pundiyon. You don't get a full pundiyon worth of bread when you're spending that. There is markup, and therefore you're only getting 50%. And therefore, you're getting really 1/4 of a kav. And that was the Gemara's conclusion. So it comes out, it is 1/4 of a kav, that is the shi'ud of Erubin. That was Shitat Rabbi Yohanan. And the Gemara made a difference depending on how much the markup is, depending if you supply the wood or not. If you supply the wood, so then it's less markup. Then you're getting 2/3 of a pundiyon worth. And if you're not supplying the wood, then already you're only getting 0.5 pundiyon's worth. That was the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon had a different opinion. Rabbi Shimon said, nothing to do with how much a pundiyon can buy you. He said that the loaf that we're talking about over here is 1/3 of a kav. That's the shi'ud, not 0.5 kav, it's 1/3 of a kav. And that 1/3 of a kav loaf, 2/3 of that is considered mazon shtei se'udot ve'eruv, which would mean 1/3 of a third is 1/9. So therefore he holds that 1/9 is considered 1 se'udah, 2/9 would be considered 2 se'udot. So that's the that's what the opinions are. According to the Rabbi Yohanan, in the conclusion, it's 1/8 because the bread was 1/4 of a kav. Each seudah is 1/2 of that. So according to the Rabbi Yohanan, each seudah is 1/8. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, each seudah is 1/9. 1/9 of a wat, 1/8 of a wat of a kav. The Mishnah continued. The Mishnah then said that these loaves are also used to calculate another hashbon, for another mathematical calculation. For what? For bet haminuga. Mishnah said hetzia le bet haminuga. What is that? So he said when a person goes into a house that has tzara'at on the walls, so he becomes tameh immediately. We're talking about a house where the kohen rendered a tameh, obviously. His garments, however, do not become tameh immediately. The Torah gives it a certain amount of time. What's the shi'ur? So the Gemara says it's the time that it takes a person to eat a certain amount of bread. What is that certain amount of bread? So the Mishnah says Hetzia lebet haminuga. Half of that loaf would be considered, if you eat that half of that loaf, how long does it take? So again, according to the Bishimon, half the loaf is, if the loaf is a quarter of a kav, so half that would be an eighth of a kav. If according to Rabbi Shimon, the loaf is a third of a kav, so it would be half of that, it would be a sixth of a kav. The shiur, how long would it take to eat that? Now that's a time measure. It takes 20 seconds, it takes a minute, however long it is, that's the shiur, but they judged it by eating. And then the Mishnah concluded and said, V'hatzi hatziah, and half of that, half of the measure we just told you for Bet HaMenugah is going to be the shi'ur for Lefsodet HaGiviyah. Right. Lefsodet HaGiviyah means that normally speaking, if a person eats food that is tameh, it does not mitameh him. Except for one type of food, the Torah tells us, an off tahor, that nitnabela. You had a chicken that was tahor and you slaughtered it the wrong way and you eat it, then it's mitameh betabiliyah. But besides that, in the Torah, food is not mitameh. However, the Hakamim made a gezerah. They said if a person eats food that are teme'im, a certain shi'ur of it, it has the ability to posil terumah. Meaning now if this fellow comes in contact with terumah, it'll be pasul. So what is that? Hatsi hatsiah. Which means half of a half. So therefore, we keep on splitting it again. Which means if we just had an eighth and a sixth, right? Because we split the quarter to an eighth. So now half of that, and maybe like a 16th. We're splitting it there already. And according to the other opinion, would be a 12th. In any event, the Gemara begins now with our subject. Gemara says, Hetzia lebet haminuga, v'hatzi hetzia lefsodet hagiviyah. Now we'll see all these shi'urim inside. That's a quote from the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Tana, we have a Tanaic statement, we're giving another shi'ur now. V'hatzi hatzi hetzia letame tum'at ochlim. Hatsi is saying like an eighth of the shi'ur of the bread. Hatsi is a way of saying the eighth. Of what? Letameh tumat ochlim. Which means we have a din like this. If you have food that became tameh. Food that's tameh, however it became tameh. Does it have the ability to mitameh other foods? If it touches it? It does. Well, it depends. What size is the food that became tameh? So the Gemara is saying an eighth of that shi'ur that we mentioned, size of bread, has the ability to mitameh other. Now let's do the calculations that she gives it to us to tell us exactly how the numbers will work in conclusion. Tap Rashi. This is the key Rashi as a conclusion of the sugya. The hatsi 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 letameh tumat ochlim. The Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka, according to Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka, kide'itle, according to what he holds. Now he held that the kikar we're talking about is a quarter of a kav. How many betzin in a kav? So there are 24 betzin in a kav. Therefore, a quarter of a kav would have 6 betzin. It's important to know that because we're going to break it down into betzin. So we're talking about a loaf of bread that has 6 betzin. Good. So comes the Rashi and says, "Dehainu kabetza chaser ravia," which means it's going to come out that an eighth of 6 betzin is 3/4 of a betza. And he continues, "Share hu shiur bekikar shel rova kav." That is the shiur when the kav is a rova, a quarter. Kedamar, like we said, mehsa secha lehenvani. Like we learned earlier, that it's not a full pundiyun's worth, because you have to calculate half of the markup
of the henvani, nimsaki kar bepundiyon rov akav. Comes out that the bread is going to be rov akav. Vehen vav betzim.
Now let's make calculations.
Chetzia, half of that shiur is for what? Beta menuga. Meaning, shelosha betzim, the beta menuga. Which means the time that it would take to eat three betzim, that would be the shiur of time before the person's clothes become tamir. Vechatzi chetzia, and half of that, betza u'mihsa, that would be 1.5 betzim, lifsulet ha'giviyah. That's of how much food a person eats tameh, that'll make him pasul for terumah. Utum'at ochlim is half of that. Therefore, what is that? Gimel rebi'i betza. So that's the shi'urim. It's for eruvin, it's a quarter of a kav. Four, which is, a quarter of a kav would be 6 betzim. 4 betta menugats, half of that is 3 betzim. 4 tum'at giviyah, it is 1.5 betzim. For tum'at ochlim, it is 3/4 of a betzah. That's the breakdown, the ma'aseh, according to Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Shimon, shishi'ir b'kikar m'gimel lekav.
Now according to Rabbi Shimon, his kikar starting off was 1/3 of a kav. 1/3 of a kav is how many betzim? 8. Kav being 24 betzim. So 1/3 of a kav is 8. So now go make the hashbonot.
Kikar shelema het betzim.
Right? The full kikar is going to be 8. That would be the shiur. Okay, that's your other kikar.
Chetzia, hevet for beta menuga, is the shiur to eat 4 betzim. Dalid. Hatzi chetzia for tumat givia bet. Hatzi chetzia betza.
Which means the eighth of 8 is 1. And then that's the shiur for tumat ochle. So that's the bottom line breakdown for these items. So now the Gemara says,
V'tana didan mai ta'ama lotani tum'at ochlim.
Why didn't the Mishnah discuss this last shiur of tum'at ochlim? You gave me the shiur of eruvin. You gave me the shiur of beta menuga. You gave me the shiur of tum'at giviyah. How come you didn't give me the shiur of tum'at ochlim? Why did I have to get it from a blaita?
So the Gemara says, Mishum delo shavu shi'urayu lehadadeh.
Because it's not an equal shiur. What the Gemara is going to prove now is all the shiurim that we gave till now are exactly half the shiur before it. You went from 6 betzim to 3 betzim, and the 3 betzim to 1.5. So they're all exactly half. However, as we're going to see now, when it comes to the shiur of tum'at ochlim, it's really not a perfect half shiur. And then with the Mishnah, left it for the Braita. The Mishnah's only given you when the shiurim are exactly half. Like hatsi, hatsi hatsya. But this is not half. Why? So the Gemara says why.
Detanya, because we have a Braita. Kama shiur hatsi paris. What is the shiur of hatsi paris?
Now this Braita is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Let's review. Rabbi Shimon held that the bread that we're talking about is 1/3 of a kav. 1/3 of a kav is 8 betzim. Now the Lashon of the Gemara, paris is half. So half a loaf would be 4 betzim. Kikar shelema is kikar shelema, that's a complete loaf. When we say paris literally means broken. Paris is a half a loaf. So that would be 4 betzim. How much would be hatsi paris? Half a loaf. So that would be 2 betzim. So the Gemara says, kama shiur hatsi paris? What is the shiur of half a loaf in the shita of Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, bet betzim haser kima'ah. Oh. So now it comes along, it's 2 betzim minus a little. Why? Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Now, why should that be? So that she says, haser kima'ah. And by the way, incidentally, they were discussing over here the shi'ur, the fsonet ha'giviyah. This is the shi'ur of how much do you have to eat of ochel that's tameh in order to make the person posel terumah. That's what this blaita was discussing. How much bread do you have to eat to be posel to give a yah? So it's hatsi hatsiah. What's hatsi hatsiah? Two besim minus. So that she says, why two besim minus? Bebetzim ketanim shi'aruha. Which means because really the discussion is two betzim ketanim. There's different size of betzim. There's betzim gedolim, obviously. There's betzim ketanim. So this question, when you say betzim, which betzim are we talking about? So therefore, he held this opinion, I guess, is Rabbi Yehuda, that the discussion was betzim ketanim. And therefore, when he was talking about bet minus, he was giving his student betzim benonim. So in mediocre betzim, it's not two. It's really two minus. It would be two betzim ketanim, which is two betzim benonim, a little less. That's the way he gave his shi'ud. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yosef Omer, bet betzim shohakot. Or suhakot. He comes and says, no, it's bet betzim, the big eggs. So he's learning it that it is a, the eggs are bigger in the shi'ud. Okay, so we have a mahloket. Is it, do you judge it with betzim ketanim, or do you judge it with betzim suhakot, which is gedolot? Okay? Now, shi'er Rabbi, came Rabbi, meaning Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he made his calculation, bet betzim ve'od. He came along and said, it's two betzim plus. What is two betzim plus? Kama ve'od. How much is the ve'od? How much is the extra that you're adding? Ehad me'esrim bebetzah. So it's 1/20th of an egg. So it is shi'ud of chatzi paris, according to the B, it's two eggs and a 20th. Meaning each egg, you add a 10th. So you have the two eggs, so now you have two eggs and a 20th. That is the shi'ud according to Rabbi. Okay? That's the way he calculates it. Now actually, each egg will bring you a 20th. Each egg will bring you a 20th. So therefore, technically it's 2/20ths. So if it's 2/20ths, it's a 10th. So it's two eggs, 10th betzah. That's the shiur. So comes the Gemara and says, so that's the shiur for what? Bet, that's the shiur for tum'at giviyah. So it's either two betzim benonim minus, or two betzim shohakot, or two betzim and a 10th, or 2/20ths. Bottom line, it's not a perfect measure. And therefore, the ilu gabet tumat ochlim, but when we discuss tumat ochlim, which was the case of the braita, how much size of the food has to be temetameh, other food, tanya, Rabbi Natan v'Rabbi Dosa amru, kabetza she'amru kamoa ochlipata. The betza that we're using for tumat ochlim is one betza, or a betza with its shell. Regular betza, complete. V'achamim omrim, kamoha, milo kelipata. And the shiur that we use for tum'at ochlim is a betza without the shell. So, what's the difference? Rashi. Kamoha ochlipata. Alma lo shavi lahatsi shiur de psul giviyah. It's not an equal measure now. Once already we're telling you that the shi'ur for tum'at ochlim is either a complete egg, the way you judge the eggs, or it's an egg without the kilipa, it's not exactly half the shi'ur of the one before it, which is tum'at giviyah. Why? The il Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, haser kim'a be'eh, so it's, he held that what? Rabbi Yehuda held the eggs that we're using over here are, it's two minus, because he let you using betzot, betzim, ketanim. And therefore here we're learning, according to what you're using, betzah v'klipata. That's bigger. So therefore, the shiur is not a half mamash shiur. Right? Miyu, the ilah Rabbi Yose, besavikli patas sochakot ba'ay. And according to him, using a bigger egg, which is not the same shiur as even a betzah bechlipata. Umiyu ve'ilu Rabbi ve'odot ba'ay. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he learned it's an egg plus. So they were all of them when they were learning the shiur of giviyah. It wasn't a complete egg. It was either an egg minus or an egg sohakot or an egg plus a 20th. So therefore, and when it came to the shiur of tumah, it was a regular egg, either with the shell or without the shell. But it's not a half, directly half. Because it's more or less. So therefore, the Mishnah left it out. The Mishnah only gave you the cases where it went equal. Went from 6 to 3 to 1.5. But now, going from 1.5 to the next shi'ud, it's not exact. It's not exactly 3/4. It's not exactly 1 betzah, according to the Bishimon. Therefore, it left it out. Because we're talking about two different eggs when it comes to those two different shi'udim. So it left it out. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Rav Ram Bar Papa. Rav Ram Bar Papa comes along and says, Amar Rav Hasda. Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yose. These are the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yose. Right, that we learned earlier. We said the shiud is either bet betzim minus or bet betzim suhakot. Aval hachamim omrim kabetza umehsa sohakot. The shi'ur for tum'at giviyah is 1.5 eggs. Now who could that be like? Who's the Hakamim's opinion? Must be like the Yohanan of the Mishnah. Let's review why. Because the Yohanan said the loaf of bread is a quarter of a calf. Quarter of a calf is 6. Half of that is bet menugah, which is 3. Half of that is tum'at giviyah. So therefore the Gemara says, Uman Hakamim, and who is the opinion of Hakamim that said the shiur is going to be 1.5 eggs? Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beruka, which is Rabbi Yohanan of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Pshita. What do you mean? Isn't that obvious? I don't need the rabbis come along to tell me that Rabbi Yohanan holds 1.5 eggs. I know it's Shita from the Mishnah. What did he feel to tell me? So the Gemara says, no. So Hakota Talash Reinan. He meant to tell you what type of eggs we're talking about over here. It's not just 1.5 eggs. It's 1.5 eggs, sohakot, meaning the big ones. So the hadush of that statement is sohakot. They're using the bigger egg. Ki ata Ravdimi. When Ravdimi came from Bavel, Amar, he said, Shiger Bunyus l'Rabbi, Bunyus, name of a fellow, sent Rabbeinu HaKadosh Mudia de Kundis. He sent them the measure, Mudia is the measure of a Kundis, that's a certain shi'ur, de min Ne'usa, from the city of Ne'usa. Now, incidentally, what is this Kundis? What is it similar to our measurements? So it's similar to a Se'ah. We have a shi'ur in the Gemara that's called a se'ah. So they sent him the kundis, and he measured it as a se'ah. How much? V'shi'er Rabbi matan v'sheva esre be'in. He came out that the se'ah has 217 eggs. That's the shiur of a se'ah. Now the Gemara is going to analyze, isn't that indeed the shi'ud of a se'ah? I mean, we know there's a certain conversion of how many eggs are in a se'ah. Mm-hmm. The she'ilah is, the Rabbi says it's 217. So the Gemara now is going to analyze, where did he get the shi'ud of 217 eggs per se'ah? So the Gemara says, ha-se'ah de'hecha. Which se'ah are we talking about? Now you have to know, in history there were three different Se'im. The Se'ah Midbarit, Se'ah Yerushalmit, and Se'ah Sipurit. At different times, the shi'ur of the Se'ah changed. It actually progressively got bigger. Could be it got bigger as the eggs got smaller, and therefore he just needs more eggs to get to the same shi'ur. In any event, the shi'ur of the se'ah of the midbar was how much? Im de midbarit kuf mem dalet habya. The shi'ur of the midbarit is 144 eggs. That's how many eggs are in a se'ah. So how do he tell you it is 217? The idi Yerushalmit, if you tell me it's se'ah Yerushalmit, kuf ayin gimal habya. It's 173. I mean, Agamim tell us that the se'ah Yerushalmit is a fifth more than se'ah midbarit, which I think is a calculation of you're adding 29, and it'll change. So therefore, it comes out to 173. The idi Sipurit, it's one fifth more than that. Resh Zayin Havyan. It comes out to 207 eggs. So therefore we don't have 217. It's either 144 with Barit, 173 Yerushalmit, 207 Sipurit. Again, the Shiurim here of Midbarit is exact, 144. When it comes to the Shiur of Yerushalmit, when they say 173, it's actually rounded off, as well as when they're saying Tzipurit, it's also rounded off. There's a few fractions that it has, but the Hakamim just gave you the rounded off number. Now, the Olam the Tzipurit. Oh, Gemara says, you know what he was talking about? B when he said it's 217, he was going with the Tzipurit measure. Aiti halta shade alayu. It was talking about the Tzipurit se'ah after you take halah from it. Meaning, add the halah to it, because you have to take halah from dough, or from flour. So add the halah, and once you remove the halah, you'll end up with the shiur of 207. How's that? How much is the halah? So the Gemara says, halta kama havyan. How much is halah? Kamne. Now we know halah is 1/24. What's 1/24 of 207? It's about 8. So therefore, add the 8 to 207, how much you have? 215. Gemara says, well, you're still short. Because you got to get to 217, you're still short 2. So the Gemara says, akateh batzarle. You're still short. Even if you add the halash shiur to it, whereas if you would take it away, you'd get to 207, which is sipurit, doesn't work. Because ela aiti ve'odot derbi shadi alayu. According to the B, he learned that each egg is an egg and a 20th. So therefore, add the go according to the eggs of the B. And therefore, how many eggs you're going to get extra here? Well, if you have 207 betzim, and add 1/20th per, so you're coming about 10 and 7/20. So therefore, from 207, your shiur jumps to 217 and 7/20. But leave the 7/20. We're not going to give fractions. So that's how we get the shiur of 217. We're calculating it according to the shiur of the biyuda. So the Gemara says, "Iache havi letfe." It's 217 and 7/20. It's more than the shiur of 217. Gemara says, "Kevad delo avi kabetza lo hashivle." Listen, as long as it's less than a kabetza, we rounded it off to 217. So that's the Gemara's answer how we got to that. Now the Gemara goes on. Tanu Rabbanan, se'ah Yerushalmit yetera al midbarit shetut. The Yerushalmit is a sixth bigger than the Midbarit. The Midbarit is 144. The Yerushalmit is 173. Which means the 173 is going to be a sixth more than the 144. After you add the Shi'ur, there's two ways of calculating in Gemara. You could calculate milligav and millibar, which means sometimes you can calculate, let's say if you want to say you have five, right? You want to say what's a fifth of five? So a fifth of five is one. Or you could say that millibar. Milligav means the number itself. You calculate a fifth of five. Or you could say no, you add the fifth to the number, which means you add it to five. Adding a fifth to five is six. So now you say millebar, which means from the outside number, meaning a sixth of that is one. So either you do it from the number itself or add the number and then divide. So therefore, here we're saying the same thing. When you have 144, add the fifth to it already, which will take you to 173. And now you say a sixth of 173. So that is the that's the difference between the Midah Yerushalmit to the Midah or the Se'ah Nidbarit. Like Shetut. Shetut means a sixth. V'shel Tzipurit itraz Yerushalmit Shetut. And now from the Tzipur, from the Yerushalmi, which is 173, to the Tzipuri, which is 207, that is also a sixth, which means which means you have 207 to 173, so that's also the difference of a sixth. So comes again when it says Nimset, conclusion, Shel Tzipurit Yitera Al Midbarit Shlish. So the Gemara says, comes out that the Midah, the Se'ah Tzipurit, which is 207, is a third bigger than Midbarit. So the Gemara says, oh, that last line is problematic. So the Gemara says, Shlish Deman. When you say a Shlish of what? The Gemara says, Ilim Ashlish de Midbarit. If you mean a third more than Midbarit, how much is a third of Se'ah Midbarit? What's 144 divided by 3? So the Gemara says, Mechdi, Shlish de Midbarit kama, Have 40 v'temanya. Right, 48. So therefore the Tzipurit is not a third more than Midbarit. Because a third of Midbarit is how much? 48. Now what's the difference between 144 and 207? The ilu odfa shitin vitlat. The spread is 63. Od pa'am. Between the Tzipurit, which is 207, and the Midbari, which is 144, the spread is 63 eggs. So how could you come along and say that the Tzipurit is a third more than Midbarit? A third of Midbarit is 48. It's more than a third. It's not 48, it's 63 difference. So that calculator doesn't make sense. So the Gemara maybe means like this: Ve'ela shlish di Yerushalmit. It means it's a third of Yerushalmit more than a Midbarit. Well, how much is a third of Yerushalmit? Yerushalmit is 173. Shlish di de kama avu. How much is a shlish of a Yerushalmit? Hamshin v'temanya. It's 58 nechitilta minus a third. So it's 57 and two thirds. That's a third of 173. It's still not 63. So the Gemara says, "V'ilu od fashitinu tlat," but the spread again is 63. So how can you tell me it's a third of Yerushalmi more? It's not a third of Yerushalmi more. Yerushalmi is third of it is 57 and change, and this is 63. The Gemara says, "V'ela de tzipuri." It means it's a third of a tzipuri more. Now, shlish dide kamavu, how much is a shlish of tzipuri? How much is a third of 207? Shiv'im nechi hada. So it's 70 minus, right? It's 70, 69 and two thirds will be a third of 207. So, I'm sorry, it would be, and one third. 69 and a third.
207.
No, so it's 70 minus. The Gemara says it's Shiv'in Nechi Hada. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. 69, exactly. 69 times 3 is 207, perfect. So comes the Gemara and says, it's still not the Shi'ud. Meaning a third of the Tzipurit, which is 69, is not 63. So the Gemara says, V'ilu Odfa Samegimal. And the over is 63 again, which is the Midbarit to the Tzipurit. It's 63. So the Gemara wants to understand, a third of what? When you said that the Tzipurit is a third more than the Midbarit, a third of what? It can't be a third of a Midbarit, it can't be a third of a Yerushalmi, it can't be a third of a Tzipurit. So what is it? So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Vidmiyahaki Kamar. נמצאת שאה של ציפורי יתרה המדברית, קרוב לשליש שלה. Which means it's close to its own third. Its own third is 69. So it's close, this is 63. ושליש שלה, and a third of it, which means a third of the ציפורית, which is 69, קרוב למחסה דמדברית, is close to half of a midbarit, which is 72. Right? Because a midbarit is 144. Now, that already is changing the whole item, which is you're not giving me an accurate number anymore. Now you tell me, karov. So the Gemara says, but kifla rabina, midi karov, karov ketani? Did it say there, karov? It said, this is the number. Is a third of this, third of that. Now you come in and say, 69 to 63, and the 69 is close to 72. It's karov, karov. Ela maravina. Hakika Amar, change the braita zashon. Nimset shlish shel sipori beveodiyot shel rabbi yetera al mersa shel midbarit shlish betza, which means calculate it with the veodiyot. Go with the extra 20th of Rabbi Yehuda. Now that took you to 217. Now, what's a third of 217? 217, not 207. 71 and change. Very good. Oh, so, well, 72. Okay, so 72 and change. Good, 72 and a third. Perfect. And what's this half of a midbarit? 72. So the spread between a third of tziporit, according to the ve'odot of Rabbi Yehuda, is 72 and a third, which is close to half of a midbari, which is 72, which the Gemara says. I read that inside three lines of the Bible. Haki kamar, nimset, shlish shel tzipori beveodiyot shel Rabbi, which means what the 1/20th extra of Rabbi, which takes you to 217, is actually 217 and 7/20, but we're not going to go that technical. It is yetera al mechsa shel midbarit. It is more than half of midbarit, shlish betza, by a third. Which is very good. One is 72, one is 72 and 2/3. That what the braita meant. That the spread between a midbarit and a sipurit, which we know is 63, that's between 144 and 207, we weren't judging that. We were judging the spread between a tzipuri of Rabbi, which is 217. Now, once you're going with the shiur of 217, so now already we're saying it's a shlish of a tzipuri of Rabbi, which is 72 and a third, which is quite close to half the shiur of a midbarit. That's the spread between midbarit and sipurit of Rabbi. That's the difference between 144 and 217. Comes the Gemara and continues. Right? This is close. Which is it. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. New point. It's new point, but it's same calculations. Rishit arisotechem. Torah tells us in the laws of Halah. Rishit arisotechem. From your dough, you have to take out challah and give it to the kohen. So the question now, the Gemara is, what is the shiur of challah? Which means, how much dough do you have in order to be hayav? It just says arisotechem. Arisa from your kneading bowl. How much dough is that? So comes the Gemara and says, vekama isotechem. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, what does arisotechem mean? The shiur of isa that a normal person eats. The kama isotechem, how much is that? Kedei isa tamidbar. Oh, it goes according to the shiur of the dough of the midbar. Now what is that? That's the man. The kama isa tamidbar, how much dough did they eat in the midbar? So dichtiv va'omer asirit ha'efahu. Let's give calculations. the man was a tenth of an ephah. Now an ephah is a big shiur. An ephah is 30 se'ah. So a tenth of an ephah would be 3 se'ah. Now, let's calculate now. How many kav in a se'ah? So we said there are 6 kav in a se'ah. That means in 3 se'ah you have 18 kav. Okay, so it's 18 kav. Now, each kav has how many rabi'iyot? Well, when we say rova akav, rabi'iyot akav. So there's 4 rabi'iyot in a kav. So that would, 18 times 4. So 18 times 4 would take you to 72 rabi'iyot. Okay? Now, 72 rabi'iyot. Okay, fine. So now, actually, if we want to explain it better, it's 18 kav, and there is 4 log in a kav. So I repeat, 4. So it's 72 log. Okay, 72 log. I said David, it's 72 log. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, now if you have 72 log, comes the Gemara and says like this. Va'omer asita ifau. Mikan Amru. From here, the rabbis taught us Zayin Ribi'im Kemach Ve'od. 7 Ribi'iyot of Kemach plus Hayevet Behala. 7 Ribi'iyot plus. Let's figure how we got to that calculation. Look at Rashi, please. Rashi says, we're going to start from fourth line. Kama havi gimel se'in. Now, ve'aomer asirit shel gimel se'in. Let's keep in mind, the omer was asirit ha'efa. Now, if it's asirit ha'efa, it's asirit, again, ba'asir didei kama havi gimel se'in. והעומר עשירית של גימל סעין שהן יוד חית קבין שהן עין בית לוגין ועשירית דעין לוגין. What is a tenth of 70 לוגין? 7. And what's a tenth of 2 לוגין? A fifth. So you have 7 לוגין and a fifth would be the שיעור of חלה. Let's do that calculation again. An איפה. I say again. I'll say it in clearer. In Ifa equals 3 se'ah. I said 30. Ifa equals 3 se'ah. That's checking. Askelav gudu. If an Ifa equals 3 se'ah, just calculate 3 se'ah, then we'll do a tenth of it at the end. Because we need a tenth of 3 se'ah. Because I got it now. So it's 3 se'ah. 3 se'ah equals 18 kav. 18 kav equals 72 log. But that's the shiur before you gave a tenth of it, because the omer was asini ta'ifa. So therefore, 72 log, what's the ma'aser of that? Well, it's 7 ribi'iyot, right? It's 7 login, I mean, 7 log. Then you have 2 log left over. So that would be a tenth of 2 would be a fifth. So it's 7 and a fifth log. That would be the shiur of asirit ha'efa. Meaning, if you have 7 and a fifth logs worth of kemah, then you're going to be chayav hala. That's what Gemara is saying. Now let's read that inside. Rabi'im is a log. No, log is a log. Which means it's seven rabi'im, which means because you have. Again, you have 18 kav, right? And 18 kav takes you to 72 log, right? So ma'aser of that is 7 ribi'it log, right? Log is a quarter, exactly. So 7 logs plus a fifth of a log. Read that inside. Beautiful. Va'omesidayfahu mikan amru zayin ribi'im kemach ve'od plus, that's the fifth, hayevet b'hala. Great. Now, Shehen, Vav shel Yerushalmit. Shehen he shel Tzipori. Which means now we're going back to the old calculation that we said, that the Yerushalmit is a sixth more, and the Tzipurit is a sixth more than that. So therefore, let's do the calculations. You have seven and a fifth would be Midbarit. Now Yerushalmit, well, Yerushalmit is a sixth more. So therefore, from six log, you make five log. Understand what we just did? Yerushalmit is a sixth more. So therefore, take six, I have a shoot of seven plus, now I want to convert it to Yerushalmit. So therefore, six of those seven will equal five. Again, if I'm going a sixth more, that the Yerushalmit is a sixth more. Right. Which means, if I have seven and a fifth, I want to convert that now into Yerushalmit measure. So, six of those logs, converted to Yerushalmit, can fit into five. Now, what do I have left over? One and a fifth. One and a fifth is one. And therefore, that's the sixth log. So therefore, seven and a fifth converted to Yerushalmit will be six even. And convert that to Tzipori, you take another sixth off, would be five. So you went from three shiurim of challah. Midat Midbari would be seven and a fifth log. Midat Yerushalmit, which is the sixth of that, which would be
six more,
of course, would be six equal. I'll tell you how we get to that again. Seven and a fifth, just the way that she calculates it. It's just simple to calculate it. Take six of those. Six equals five lugin in Yerushalmit. Then you have one and a fifth log left over. One and a fifth, which is, this is the sixth more, so therefore one Yerushalmit equals one and a fifth Midbari. So therefore, you have five plus one is six. Now, your Tzipurit is a sixth more than that. So therefore, what is six of Yerushalmit is only five of Tzipurit. That's it. So it's seven and a fifth, Midbari, six Yerushalmit, five Tzipurit. Comes the Gemara and concludes on this point and says, Mikan Amru. From here, the rabbis came along and said, Ha'ochel kemidazu. If a guy eats asirit ha'efa, meaning he eats this shi'ur, hare ze bari, he's healthy, umborach, and he's blessed. Because if he's satiated by this, this is a normal shi'ur, you're supposed to be satiated. Yeter alken, if a guy eats more than this shi'ur, la'aftan, then already he's considered a glutton, he's considered a hungry guy. And then the Gemara says, "Pachot mikan mikulkal b'me'av." Less than this, you have chas v'shalom intestinal problems. It's a lot, of course, it's a lot. But still, he's telling you less than that already, you're sick. Now, Rashi says, "Umborach." Why is he blessed if he eats the shiur? She'eno ochel yoter midai. And the pasuk in Mishle says, "Ubeten resha'im tehsar," which means the stomach of the resha'im is always lacking. So therefore, if he eats this and he's still hungry, he's not good. But if he eats it and he's satiated, he's mevorach. Like it says, Sadiq ochel lesovach nafsho. The Sadiq eats according to his satiation. Okay, now we go to a new topic in the Mishnah. Anshe Hatzer. Okay, now we have a new case. We have pictures in your books. If you want to open up your picture books to see this. So we have Anshe Hatzer, people living in a Hatzer in a courtyard. Anshe Merpeset. Merpeset are those people living on the second floor, and they have a merpeset in front of them. They have like a little balcony in front of their homes. Okay, now from that balcony there's a ladder that they can go down into the chatzir. So you have anche chatzir, plus on top of them you have anche merpeset. Sheshachu velo irbu. They did not make an eruv amongst themselves, which means technically these guys are considered connected because of the ladder that connects them. So therefore, if they want to make one joint eruv to carry in the collected chatzir, no problem. But they can also go solo. So therefore, if let's say the bottom guys on the top floor, bottom floor, made an eruv amongst themselves, the guys in the merpeset also made an eruv amongst themselves. Hakamim tell us that also works. Since they're on separate floors, they can be considered mechulakim, separate for the eruv. Now, even though there's a ladder connecting them, that ladder was only said lekula, which means we'll say that the ladder can connect them if they want to join together. But we're not going to say the ladder ruins them, that if they didn't make it together, that they're asur to each other. No. The top can make their own eruv, meaning for the top guys for them to carry in their marpeset, and the bottom guys can make eruv, can carry in the chatzer. Now certainly, the guys on the second floor cannot walk into the, they can walk into the chatzer, they can't carry into the chatzer. As well as the guys in the chatzer cannot carry up to the marpeset, because each one made a separate eruv. So now the Gemara Shas is like this, a check chatzer marche marpeset. Sheshachu velo erbu, kod shekavoa, Yud tefaqim the marpeset, which means anything that's higher than 10 tefaqim belongs to the marpeset. For example, let's say in the hatzir you have a very high, something that's more than 10 tefaqim high. So something that's more than 10 tefaqim high is high enough to consider it accessible for the marpeset people and not for the Hatzer people, which means they'd be able to take stuff from that item on and off of it, because it belongs to them. Pachot mikan lahatzer. So if you look in your picture books, you probably would see like a mound. Which picture you have there?
274.
Okay, so you see a column, basically. So if it's 10 tefachim high, the Marpeset people can transfer back and forth. It's considered part of their domain. Less than 10, it's considered part of the Hatzer. Now, let's read Rashi in the Mishnah. Anshe Hatzer v'anshe Marpeset v'lo erbu, elu im elu. Aval erbu elu le'atzman v'elu le'atzman. Each one made their own eruv. Marpeset arukai. Marpeset is a long balcony. There's a lot of doors open up to it. And there is a ladder that can take you down from the marpeset to the chatzer. Taidushes, even though there's a ladder that's connecting them, the marpeset people are not osir the chatzer people. Since already it's 10 high off the ground, which means the ladder only goes to be lenient that they could join as one. But since it's raised from the chatzer, they are still considered separate. Okay, good. That's the point of Rashi. They want to show. Look at the next Rashi. Im yesh b'chatzer tel. If in the chatzer you have a mound, or amud, or a column, gavoa hasara, samuch lemapeset. Now, obviously, it's got to be close to the marpeset. They can have easy access to it. We'll see what samuch is in the Gemara. Reshut marpeset shulated po. So the marpeset people have their domain on it. Umishtamshim hen bo. Aval lo b'nei chatzer. Not the people of the chatzer. So comes the Mishnah and continues. Gemara gives some more examples. Chulyat tabor v'asela. Chulyat tabor would be, let's say, the dirt that you dig out of a bor. Okay, and you put it on the sides of the board. You have a picture of that in your books. It's also 10 tefachim high, and it's in the chatzer. So also that chulya, that mound of dirt, right? If it's 10 tefachim high, it goes to the marpeset. Less than 10 tefachim goes to the chatzer. Or for that matter, sela. Sela would just be a rock. Givuhim hasarat tefachim lemarpeset. Pachot mikan lachatzer. That's only talking where it's close to the marpeset. Aval bimufleget. If it's far from the marpeset, even if it's higher than the tefachim, it belongs to the chatzer. There is uisim mucha. So the magic number is 4 tefachim. If it's before the 4 tefachim, the marpeset, your marpeset. If it's higher than 10, higher than 10. Even more than 4 tefachim belongs to the chatzer. Comes the Gemara. Pshita. Leze bepetach veleze bepetach haynu halon sheben shte chatzerot. Now we're going back to something that we learned earlier. Very, very, very quickly. We learned earlier in the Masechet that that when you have two chatzerot that are open to each other, you made an eruv in one, you made an eruv in the other one. So each one can carry in their own chatzerot. But let's say you have a wall in between. Now, the wall, let's say, was 10 tefachim in between, so now we said it really belongs to both, it's like equal access. So we said you can go eat stuff on top of the wall, each side can do that, perot, let's say, on top, but you can't take from the wall and bring it down, because this is considered shared property, and since you didn't make an eruv amongst themselves, okay? That's talking about that deed. Now, furthermore, the law would be, let's say you have a halon, a window between two chatzerot. Now we said a window is considered enough of a petach, it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, within 10 tefachim of the ground. We said what? It can be shituf. Now let's say you didn't make shituf. Each one made on their own. So access to that area of the window is equal. Therefore it's going to be a suit to take anything from the ledge or from the rim of that window into your respective chatzer. It's like a wall, you know, about a window. Okay? That'd be the case of the halon. Let's, based on that, let's say you have two chatzerot, and in front of the chatzerot, you have doors connecting them, but each one made a separate eruv. In front of you have a ledge, let's say. I'm better off showing you a picture of this. Could you open up your picture books? Yeah, we'll look at picture... No, I don't see it in here. I have it in my art scroll. Here, you see this picture here? You have two chatzerot, right? And you have this like, what call a block, right? In between both of them. Okay? So who owns it? Well, both of them. So therefore, just like you would not be able to share the window that are between, so you would not be allowed to share this block, meaning you cannot take things and put it on the block, or take things and take it off the block, because it is a shared area. So now let's read that inside the Gemara. That's the first case the Gemara wants to analyze. Peshita leze bepetach veleze bepetach, meaning both have entrances to each chatzer. Hainu halon shemen shtei chatzerot. Which means that's exactly analogous to the case of a halon between two chatzerot. Meaning, just like when you have a halon between the two chatzerot, you can't both use that area, meaning take stuff from it. So too when you don't have a window, when you just have a door that has access to this block that's in between both chatzerot, as you see in your picture, also it's going to be forbidden to take from the block into your respective chatzer. That's peshita. Because bottom line, it's shared property, right? And nobody has more access than the next. Because we're going to learn now in the Gemara, if one has easier access, it goes to his side. Here, it's like a window. Does anybody have more access to the window? It's right in between both of them. So just like the window case, here you don't have a window. Here you have a passageway, right? Each one had to the rock or to the block. So it was the same thing. You can't take from the block. That's Peshita. Now, Leze bizrika ve leze bizrika. Now let's say you had a wall in between the chatzerot, for example, that was more than 10 tefachim high. Now, when we say something is more than 10 tefachim high, the assumption is that the way you're going to get the item to it is you have to throw it. Bizrika. That's the access, because it's high. So the Gemara says like this, Lezeh bizrika, velezeh bizrika, meaning if both sides, the only way to access it is through throwing, so it's equal access. What's the deen? Hayu koto shebin bet chatzerot. That's the same deen as we learned earlier in the Mishnah, between a wall, that's between two chatzerot, if it's sent to Fahimai, each side can only eat on the wall, but they cannot take off. Equal access. Lezeh bishilshul, velezeh bishilshul. Shilshul means going down. For example, let's say you have a ditch between two chatzerot, and the ditch is 10. How do you get into a ditch? You have to mishalchil, you have to lower down. Now let's say, if it's equal, if this guy on the right has to be mishalchil to get down into the ditch, and the other guy on the left has to be mishalchil to get down into the ditch, equal access. And therefore what? Hainu harit shebin bet chatzerot. That's the same case we learned above, when you have a harit between two chatzerot, you cannot remove things out of the haritz, but put things in the haritz, because they each equal have equal access. Ah, so the question is like this. Now when we say petach, petach means where it's like a window or a door, where you just put stuff right on it. You don't have to go up, you don't have to bend down. Petach means like a door, you just walk in and use it regular. Now, let's say one has level and one has to be zorek, which means we learned that case above, if you remember, where the chatzarot were not level with each other.
Yeah.
Which means, let's say one chatzir is lower, right? And one chatzir is higher. Okay? So this guy could just walk straight, because his chatzir is high, just put the thing right on top of the wall. While the other guy is lower, he has to throw to get it up. In that case over there, it's obvious whose side does it belong to the wall? To the one that has the easier access. Both have access. But you give it to the one that can just place it on it, as opposed to the one that has to throw it. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Hainu de Rabba bar Avuna." That was Rabba bar Avuna's case. He learned. He was the one that told us when the chatzarot are not level. When one is higher and one is lower, you give it to the one that is level with the wall, that he just has to put it on. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, leze bepetach leze b'shilshul.
That was the previous name
with Amar. That's the opinion of Rabba bar Avuna that said above. Amar Rav Nachman, lezeh bepetach, new case now. Lezeh bepetach, lezeh b'shilshul. Similar case. One guy's level with it, bepetach, I mean he could just put it on it, and the other guy is, no, he's up, he's raised, and therefore he has to lower into it, b'shilshul, to get into the area. So who do you give it to? Who has easier access? The guy who goes straight. As opposed to the guy that is high, that has to be Mishal Nachman. That's above earlier we had an opinion that said this case in the name of Rav Shizmi, in the name of Rav Nachman. So we're getting to the question. Basically we're learning over here, you always, if it's equal access, asur to both. Easier access to one, you give it to that side. So now the Gemara's question is like this. Let's say they both don't have easy access. One has to throw up to get to the wall, and one has to go down. How do you consider that? Do you consider that equal hard access, and therefore a suit to both? Or maybe you'll say, maybe going down is easier than throwing up. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shenehem Asurim. Equal access, equal difficult access, both Asur. Ushmoel Amar Notnim Oto Lezeh Shebishilshul. No, you give it to the guy who can go down. Why? Shelezeh Tashmisho Benahat. Because this is considered an easier usage, v'lezeh tashmisho bekasheh. And the other has to go up is harder access. V'chod avash tashmisho lezeh benachat. V'lezeh bekasheh, notim oto lezeh shetashmisho benachat. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.